Chapter 15. When the carriage Tess was riding in approached Marlott, she got out and continued to her home on foot. Tess found her mother washing the clothes, as usual.
"Tess, I thought you were going to get married," exclaimed Joan.
"I am married, Mother. I was married on Tuesday," Tess answered.
"You were married on Tuesday and today is Saturday. Where is your husband?" her mother asked.
"Oh, Mother, I told him about my past, and now he has gone away," sobbed Tess.
"Tess, how foolish! I told you not to tell him," said her mother.
"But he was so good, Mother," cried Tess. "I couldn't lie to him."
"Oh, it is too late now," said Joan. "And your father will be so embarrassed. He told everyone that your marriage would help the family become great again."
Tess ran out of the room, but she could hear her mother telling her father the whole story of her marriage. She heard her father exclaim,
"Now people will laugh at us again."
Tess was hurt by her father's words and decided to leave Marlott again. Meanwhile, Angel Clare had finished his farming studies. It was time to think about his plan to go abroad and buy a farm. He heard there was cheap land for sale in Brazil, and he decided to go there. He also started to think that perhaps he had been unfair to Tess. He thought that if he went to Brazil, he could begin a new life, and perhaps later he could invite Tess to join him. No one there would know about her past. He went home to tell his parents about his plan.
"Brazil!"
his parents exclaimed.
"But we haven't even met your wife yet."
"She will stay with her mother. I'm going first to make all the arrangements and she can join me later," Angel explained. The next day, Angel left his parents' home and began to prepare for his journey to Brazil. He met Iz Hewitt, one of Tess's companions from Talbothays in Emminster. Angel told Iz that he and Tess were not together, but he did not tell her the reason. Then they talked about the days at the dairy.
"Would you have said yes if I had asked you to marry me?" Angel asked her suddenly.
"Yes, and I would have loved you," said Iz.
"Tess and I have separated, and I'm going to Brazil. Will you go with me?" Angel asked.
"Oh, yes, I'll go with you," cried Iz.
"Do you love me more than Tess does?" he continued.
"I love you with all my heart, but no one could love you more than Tess does. She would be happy to die for you,"
Iz answered honestly.
"Please forget what I said, Iz," said Angel. "I must be mad." "Oh, no, Angel, take me with you," Iz said. I shouldn't have told you the truth."
"No, Iz, you have stopped me from making a terrible mistake," said Angel. "Please forgive me. I shouldn't have asked you." Angel finished the preparations for his journey to Brazil. He went to the port which his ship was to sail from and embarked alone. During the spring and summer, Tess sometimes worked in dairies. She sent most of her money to her family. In the winter, when there was no more work in the dairies, she heard there was work on a farm at Flintcomb Ash, where her friend Marianne was working. It took Tess several days of difficult travelling to reach the farm. She walked alone through the winter countryside in her oldest clothes. One evening, in an inn where she spent the night, some men were talking about how pretty she was. The next day, Tess tied a handkerchief around her face as if she had toothache. Then she cut off her eyebrows to make herself even less attractive.
"If Angel isn't here to see me, I don't want to be beautiful," she thought.
The land Tess passed through was bleak and bare. It reflected the sadness of her mood. At last, Tess came to a village. This was her destination, Flintcomb Ash. "Who would believe that I am Mrs. Angel Clare?" she asked herself as she leaned against the wall of a cottage to rest. Female field workers were paid much lower wages than men,
so the farmer was happy to hire Tess. She found a room in a simple cottage, and then she wrote to her mother giving her the address so that Mrs. Durbeyfield could send any letters from Angel to her. Tess and Marianne worked side by side in the fields. The ground was full of stones, and the work was hard. There was not a tree or a green pasture anywhere in sight. They worked bent over all day long, pulling vegetables out of the ground for the farm animals to eat. They were blown by the wind and soaked by the rain, but at least they had each other for company. Tess's only pleasure was talking to Marianne about the sunny days at the Talbothays dairy and about Angel Clare. But Tess did not tell Marianne everything, and Marianne wondered what had happened. Shortly after Tess arrived, the two friends wrote to Iz Hewitt, telling her to come if she needed work. Iz joined them, and the three of them worked and talked together in the fields. One day, Tess heard Iz tell Marianne something about Angel.
"Please, tell me what you know about my husband," begged Tess.
"I met him in Emminster. He asked me to go to Brazil with him," said Iz. Tess was surprised.
"Why didn't you go?" she asked.
"He changed his mind," Iz answered.
"It's my fault he asked you to go," said Tess. "I shouldn't have left him. He said I could contact him, and I haven't done it. He doesn't know that I still love him."
That evening, Tess sat down and tried to write a letter to Angel, but there were too many things she did not understand. She could not finish writing it. Eventually, Tess decided to visit Angel's family. One Sunday morning, she dressed in her best clothes and walked 15 miles to Emminster. She went to the church where Mr. Clare was the parson. She took off her good walking boots and hid them under a bush outside the church. Then she put on her good shoes to meet Angel's family. As the people were coming out of the church, Tess heard Angel's family talking.
"Why did Angel marry a dairymaid instead of that lovely girl, Mercy Chant?" said Mrs. Clare to her husband.
Mercy Chant came out of the church after Angel's family. She saw Tess's boots under the bush.
"Look," she said, "someone has thrown away a pair of walking boots. I'll take them to the poorhouse and give them to someone who needs them."
Ashamed, Tess turned around and began the long walk back to the farm where she worked. Her feet hurt from wearing her good shoes, which were not made for hard walking. She felt very tired and depressed. On the way back, she saw a large crowd around a preacher and stopped to listen while she rested her feet. She was shocked to see that the preacher was Alec Durbeyfield.